Against the farthest wall of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome is not a statue of St. Peter, as one might imagine, but a gorgeous, heroic-sized sculpture with a chair as its focus. And to celebrate the chair of St. Peter is to celebrate the unity of the church. Well, that day to celebrate is today. And joining me today to tell us a little bit more about this special feast day is Father Gabriel Mosier from Holy Rosary Church here in Portland. Good morning, Father Gabriel.
Hello.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Always happy to be here.
Okay, Father Gabriel, the first question. Today's feast day, is it about St. Peter? Is it about a chair? Or is it about the papacy in its whole?
Yes.
All three.
No, it's fundamentally about the chair, but the chair has meaning, and it's odd. You know, there's a couple of feast days on the liturgical calendar that focus on things and not persons, and this is one of them. So you have St. John Lateran, which focuses on the building, the actual church, the Pope's actual cathedral, not St. Peter's, which is a larger basilica, but this is the other one, which is the chair of St. Peter, which we have, and that chair that's there in that sculpture in St. Peter's Basilica is, as tradition tells us, is the chair that Peter himself used while he was presiding over the church.
Well, Father Gabriel, we think about the Mass and placing ourselves in it, and it feels like it's more than just a thing, the church. And yet somehow on this feast day, we celebrate a thing.
That's right.
So how is it that we focus on specifically an object that we can touch and feel as part of the celebration of our Catholic faith?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is perfectly in line with what we believe about the incarnate nature of the faith, that God uses material things in order to communicate something about himself to us. In this case, the chair, which is an ancient symbol, right? We see this most prevalently in our own experience when we go to the cathedral. A cathedral is called a cathedral because it has the cathedra there, which is the chair of the bishop. It's the church within the diocese that holds that chair. And that chair is symbolically united, or let's call it historically united, with what was called the seat of Moses, which is what a rabbi would sit upon in order to make authoritative teachings. And you see this show up in sacred scripture a couple times, particularly with our Lord, when he's asked to make a definitive teaching, like when there's the woman caught in the very midst of adultery, he sits down. So before he makes his proclamation, he sits, symbolically taking that chair of Moses in order to act as judge. And that's what that chair represents in the cathedral for here in our local church in Western Oregon. But the chair of Peter, that represents that seat of Moses, of Peter now, the new Moses, in a sense, as judge, or rather, Christ is truly the new Moses, just as we see in the Transfiguration. But Peter, acting as his steward, sits in that chair to judge, as it were, the church, to order it, to structure it, to give it form. And so we celebrate that because this is something that God has given us. God gave us the Petrine ministry and all the different aspects of that Petrine ministry.
Father Gabriel Mosier is joining us today to help us get a deeper understanding of today's feast, the Chair of St. Peter. Well, Father Gabriel, our popes now, though, they don't actually sit in that chair.
No.
But are they in the chair of St. Peter's?
Exactly, because the chair represents an office. And just as our Lord, when he's making that judgment about the woman caught in the midst of adultery, he doesn't actually sit in any particular chair. He just sits down. He doesn't need to have a physical chair in order to manifest that authority, even though he does this symbolic action. So likewise, in our liturgical activities or the different forms, if you read the Roman Pontifical, it instructs the bishop when he's preaching that ideally he preaches seated at the chair. So when a bishop preaches, that seated position is still something that the church sees as ideal. And you see that also with the Holy Father. The Holy Father always preaches seated.
You're right. You know, it never occurred to me, but yes, looking at his Wednesday audiences, and you're right, he's sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm. It's a manifestation of authority. You see this also in secular rulers as well. Royal situations, there's a throne, and the throne represents the authority of the king. So there's those two symbols, the crown, there's the crown, scepter, and throne. And for instance, we recently got to see the elevation of Don Felipe to become the king of Spain. During that whole ceremony, and still to this day, when he receives people in audience, the thing that he does not do is he does not sit in the throne, because that authority that goes with the throne has been ceded to the parliament by the way in which they structured their constitutional monarchy. So symbolically, he doesn't take that seat.
Wow.
Yeah.
So interesting. Things that we would never really consider. We are happy that the church offers us these days to really take focus and notice. Well, one of the ways, Father Gabriel, that we can take notice and honor and celebrate this special feast day is an ordinariate mass for the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. It's happening at Holy Rosary Church this evening at 7 o'clock. Can you explain to us what that is?
Certainly. So under Pope Benedict, there was this grant that was allowed, this creation of the what are called the Anglican Ordinariates. And there's a few of them throughout the world. There's in England, there's in Oceania, which is Australia and whatnot, Canada and the United States, and really just all of North America. And this Ordinariate, the one here in North America, is its title is the Chair of St. Peter. So it's the Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. And they have a bishop, an ordinary, that's over them, and Bishop Lopes, and his see is in Texas. And he has to oversee this whole territory and all of the canonical members of his ordinariate. We have a few of those canonical members who are parishioners, and when they request the use of their liturgical forms from us, then we have permission to use them. So I've had the great pleasure to be able to marry people, to baptize people, to confirm people under the ordinariate liturgical books on behalf of Bishop Lopes. For his subjects. And they're wonderful. The qualifications to become a member, a canonical member of the Ordinariate, are very complicated. But principally what it's about is giving a home within the Catholic Church, a place for those people who are coming back to the Church from an Anglican or Anglican-adjacent tradition. And so this liturgy, it's fundamentally the ordinary form of the Roman Rite, translated with slightly different English, closer to something that you would recognize in the Common Book of Prayer that's used by Anglicans and Episcopalians. But it's the ordinary form of the Roman Rite, and then added onto that and within that, placed within it, certain traditional patrimony prayers and forms from their tradition. It's quite beautiful. And also I would note what I would call certain correctives to the Roman Rite itself. So it restores things like the prayers at the foot of the altar. It restores things like the proper offertory prayers. It restores a lot of things and that are native to the Roman Rite as well.
Oh, fantastic. And so this is a valid Eucharistic celebration that we would all be able to attend and receive communion for.
It's open to you know, all Catholics, everybody, just like any other mass. And, we'll have a program so that people don't get lost, because there are some things where you're like, what's going on right now? You know, if you're Catholic, you're used to a certain rhythm at Mass, but this has these added things like the comfortable words or the prayer of humble access or these other sorts of forms of prayers that don't exist within the regular Roman Rite Catholic's experience, but are very, very precious to those people that come from that tradition. And so Pope Benedict, like he did with many other things, wanted to find a place for people to draw the sacred that they have from their tradition and to have that unity, complete unity with the Church. And this has been a great movement for unity with that tradition.
Oh, and it's a great opportunity for all of us to learn a little bit more about it. It is coming up this evening at 7 o'clock, and the whole community is invited to attend. Father Gabriel, I appreciate your time so much today. Before we go, can you end us in your prayer and blessing?
Absolutely. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
By the Chair of St. Peter, for which we are grateful for that authority that was granted to Peter and his successors by our Lord, so that we might have the things that we need in order to know him, love him, and serve him, and that we might be able to continue his mission throughout time. We ask that Christ gives us all the blessings that we need, And we ask this in his name, Christ the Lord. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And that is Father Gabriel Mosier from Holy Rosary Parish here in Portland. That Ordinariate Mass for the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter's is happening this evening at 7 o'clock. If you want to find out more information and details, all you need to do is go over to our community calendar and you can find everything you need to know on the Hail Mary Media app or our webpage, materdeiradio.com.